Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the video game of free speech. Why is it a video game? What do I know about video games? Well, I know Donkey Kong and Dig Dug and a couple others.
It's a good place to start.
Hey, it's a good place to start, right? And so pump some quarters into the video game. Is that what do you pump into a video, an arcade game in Great Britain? Would it be
it used to be, when I was a child, it used to be one game for 20 pence, three games for 50 pence, and seven games for £1.
Okay, yeah, because I was thinking, you don't have 25 pence. There is a 20 pence. And the 20 pence, isn't that like nine-sided or something weird? It's got like some weird...
The 20 pence, I believe, is... I'll Google it. UK 20p coin. I think it's one, two, three... It's seven sides.
I was going to say seven, but that just didn't seem like enough.
Yeah, it's seven sides. I thought it was seven. Yeah, seven sides.
Okay, that is odd. Anyway... pump republicbroadcasting.org full of coinage, badly needed coinage. And also, you can download the CoSertified app directly, or more or less, from nationalbugle.com, which has been restored to its former glory because it had been hacked by someone. And some of the content had been removed, but it is back up there. A little bit of content probably missing, but 90-something percent is back. Okay, so we have, obviously, Mark Collett with us today. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, it's great to be here, Patrick. Always a good way to start the week, but you caught me off guard today because I've forgotten that the times had changed. You're on...
We're on daylight saving time. Your clock hasn't changed yet?
No, I've changed the end of the month. So I was thinking to myself, I'm going to get home in time. You know what? Mrs. Mark was actually cooking me bacon for lunch, and I've missed my bacon.
Oh, no.
To do this show. So I'm hoping it's going to be a good one.
I was planning on contacting you earlier because, maybe I could sleep an hour later or whatever. But... anyway, things happen the way they happen, and that's all good. Okay, so there's all this stuff going on in Ukraine, obviously. And in general, I've been concentrating on the background, on the causes, on other things. I'm not really going into the development so much because there's so much weird information and who knows what. But today I am going to start off just by saying it seems as if, because I do have a friend who is trying to follow the actual news, and a combination of what I glean from information I'm being fed, plus RT and Sputnik, it seems as if...
Before you say any more,
yes,
there is a great page on Telegram, and it is called... Intel Slava Z, I-N-T-E-L space S-L-A-V-A, and then obviously a capital Z. And this has actual real footage of what's going on in the Ukraine at the moment. It shows, so some of it's pretty gruesome, but it shows huge numbers of Ukrainian desertions. It shows massive numbers of Ukrainian dead. It shows huge amounts of Ukrainian, Western-funded Ukrainian armaments that are being captured. So much so, and I don't know whether this is just a meme or it's true, but apparently Russia now has the largest stockpile of US and NATO weapons, second only to the Taliban. So many so that Russians in the Donbass region have captured so many US javelins that the Russian government has now started to put together a manual to how to use them in Russian, because they've got so many captured Western pieces of Western military gear. So that's a really good place to get. And this isn't Western people say, oh, Mark, that's just Russian propaganda, you're falling for. No, no, not at all. This is actually very interesting, because what you've got here is actually a situation where the Western media stuff isn't really backed up by imagery. And if you do reverse image search on the imagery they've got, it's very sketchy. And a lot of the images of Zelensky doing things, a lot of the images of people who've been injured, you can actually trace these images back to other events. So there's an image going around of Zelensky attending a meeting. And this imagery is not recent. It's a picture that was taken years ago.
Of course, there's the little girl who was shouting at army officers, supposedly, or soldiers, supposedly Russian soldiers. But as it turned out, it was a Palestinian girl shouting at Israeli soldiers.
Yeah.
So there's been, and so I really have kind of resisted going into the what's going on the ground. But it seems as if the Russian military is there. They've been they've been very restrained because they don't want civilian casualties. And I've been talking about the reason why they wouldn't want civilian casualties.
Well, they want to take it intact. They want to rebuild the country. And they want it to be a nation which is amenable to Russia. So if they go in, level the place, kill dozens and dozens of
civilians.
That's
bad for them.
That's bad for them in the long run. This isn't like...
Bad for them, and it's bad for them in the short run.
But this isn't... People keep mixing this up. The problem is, Patrick, fundamentally, the Western press is used to Western methods of warfare. And Western methods of warfare are as follows. Pound the country into almost dust with airstrikes. Surround every major city. Further pound that city to dust using... mortar strikes, artillery, tank shells, and more airstrikes. When it is dust on top of dust, then roll in and kill everything that moves. Then claim victory and charge said country for American and Western contractors to rebuild that country. That is Western warfare. So the Western media are looking in and saying to themselves, well, Russia haven't completely leveled Kiev and major cities yet. They must be losing the war.
They're losing the war. Yeah, Miss Ukraine is fighting against them. They ran out of gas.
Miss Ukraine's got an airsoft gun and some special glasses to make sure the little pellets don't go in our eyes. The Russians are losing.
So, yeah, it is ridiculous. There are reasons why... Russia doesn't want to have civilian casualties. I think the Western objective and the West started this. I mean, this is the massive provocation. We don't have to talk about NATO expansion. Everybody knows about that. We don't have to talk about the 2014 coup d'etat. Everybody knows about that. The shelling of Donbass and everything. This was started by the West. And the way I look at it is started by the idea is to overthrow Vladimir Putin. It has nothing to do with securing Ukraine from a Russian invasion. It has everything to do with overthrowing Vladimir Putin. And the more people who die in Ukraine, no matter who they are, Ukrainian civilians, Russian soldiers, Ukrainian soldiers, the more people who die, the better for Victoria Nuland, the worse for Vladimir Putin. I mean, he could... If he were to do a Western-style invasion, he'd have a massive anti-war movement within his own country. He'd have, the entire world joining in on sanctions with him, which they're not, by the way. It's just America and its so-called allies that are doing the sanctions. But China's not, India's not, Pakistan's not, lots of countries aren't joining in on these sanctions. So he has reasons why he's being very, very careful with this. But you've got this situation where the Ukrainian civilians want out. They want out of the cities. The Russians have set up these humanitarian corridors for them to leave. And yet you've got apparently these so-called neo-Nazis. We'll have to talk about what the hell these neo-Nazis are doing fighting for a Jewish president. That'll be later in the show. But they're not letting the civilians leave because they're using them as shields. And then also, Ukrainian regular forces apparently want to surrender, but the Azov Brigade and whatnot, if people try to surrender, people try to leave, they're being shot by the Azov Brigade. That's what I'm hearing. At this point, I tend to believe it. What are you hearing about these, the Azov Brigade or, other so-called neo-Nazi groups and their role in this?
Well, I find this very interesting. But the most interesting thing about this is ultimately what you're actually seeing here is a situation where Azov seem to be, or these right-wing, so-called right-wing militia groups, seem to be the only people left fighting. They seem to be the only ones who are left doing any of the heavy lifting. What I'm actually seeing in the region is that large, large numbers of Ukrainian army regulars are deserting. They don't want this. They want to be out of there. And to be fair to Russia, and to be honest, really, it's not just being fair to Russia, it's being honest. Russia have been very conciliatory to those who have laid down their arms. There have been repeated calls from Russian commanders, from Putin himself, from Russian special forces for Ukrainians to lay down their arms, go back home. They will not be harmed. They will not be rounded up. They're not going to be killed. And to be fair, those that have complied seem to have been treated extremely fairly. And my position on this is quite simple. What we seem to be having here is a situation where those who are actively complying or choosing to comply with Putin, those who are complying with what the Russians say, seem to be treated extremely fairly. Now, there obviously are people who are not complying. There are obviously people who are fighting on. And that's their choice. If they choose to do that, that is their choice. But those who are doing so seem to be the ones from these right-wing militias. They seem to be, Azov, Right Sector, etc. And I think that is why the West is being so amenable to these groups. Because remember, if any of these groups existed in the West, they would be instantly outlawed. That would be it. There would be no more Azov. If Azov was in Britain, I'm actually very confident to say that if anybody had been advocating for Azov as 3 weeks ago, a month ago in the UK, they would have been arrested and basically held on terrorism charges for advocating for this group. So the West isn't really a fan of this type of group. The West is actually completely opposed to these types of groups. But in this case, these groups are the only ones putting up any further armed resistance. And I believe because they're the only ones putting up any further armed resistance, the West is basically having to work with what they've got on the ground. Mm. Even though what they've got on the ground isn't actually what they would find palatable here in the West or anywhere else. And when I say wouldn't find palatable anywhere else, what I'm basically saying to you is, should Azov be successful, which I doubt it will be, and force back the invading Russian forces, that would actually be the death of Azov as well as if the Russian forces got there. Because if Russian forces get their way, Azov will no longer exist. Now, if
Azov will no longer exist, and what about personally, an Azov individual member? Will he no longer exist?
If Russia win, that's it probably for Azov. But if Azov win,
and how about for the individuals?
Well, they're probably going to be in a lot of trouble. I should imagine they will be in a lot of trouble. But should the West win? Should the West actually be victorious here through Azov? Azov will also cease to exist.
Yeah.
Because the West aren't going to tolerate the Ukraine with a group like Azov Battalion operating freely. Yeah. I can tell you that for nothing. You know, Azov Battalion will cease to exist whatever happens. Because, in fact, the only way Azov could have continued to exist would be if Ukraine remained genuinely independent, i.e. neither under Russia nor under NATO. And what NATO planned to do, in my humble opinion, is use Azov to foment a war with Russia. This will eventually, NATO hopes, lead to regime change in Russia and the end of Vladimir Putin. It would lead to more Ukrainians actually wanting NATO involvement in the Ukraine, which would lead to NATO ultimately controlling the Ukraine and having an iron grasp over it, which would eventually lead to a situation where Azov would be dissolved from within the Ukraine via progressive liberal forces under the control of NATO. So I think what NATO are doing is they are using Azov as a tool to bring about regime change in the Ukraine, regime change in Russia, and
regime change in the Ukraine?
Yeah, because Ukraine at the moment, there are large parts of the Ukraine which are very friendly and amenable to Russia. And ultimately, where Azov have been most active is in the eastern parts of the Ukraine, and there have been multiple violations of the Minsk Agreement, most likely on both sides. I'm not saying it's all going to just be Azov Battalion, but there have been multiple violations on both sides. But it is Azov's activity in that region that has basically led to the situation you are seeing today. You're seeing this increased violence in the Ukraine. We've seen this conflict in the Ukraine. And it is largely thanks to the repeated violations of the Minsk Agreement. That's an important aspect here. And that's because these groups operating in the East have been doing so, I believe, fundamentally, at the behest of the West, to create this problem that you're seeing today, to help stoke this war. Because as we've discussed before on this show, I think we're both in agreement on this, one of the Western objectives of all of this was to actually make this happen, to bring about regime change in Russia. They've wanted to put mass sanctions.
As far as I'm concerned,
Russia.
That's number one reason.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've wanted this for some time, and I believe they're on the cusp of some kind of massive regime change in Russia, and this will be the catalyst for that. And they're hoping to turn the Russian people against Vladimir Putin. Is one of the most popular politicians on the planet, regardless of what the West say. He's far more popular than any prime minister's ever been in the UK. And what they're trying to do here is degrade his popularity with sanctions and a war. And Azov Battalion have basically been the people who have helped bring this about with their continued fighting in the east of the Ukraine, in the Donbass region. And I think that has been a major thing here. Basically, this tells you that although the West are completely opposed to any form of ethno-nationalism, whether it be national socialism or a different type of ethno-nationalism, they will use ethno-nationalists or anybody else for that matter, as we've seen them use ISIS, in the Middle East. They will use any tool at their disposal to bring about regime change.
That is simple. All right. Well, we're coming right up at the break. I'm going to want to ask, some questions about who the heck these people are and what they're doing, this Azov Brigade, right sector, these people. All right, we'll be right back.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
And we're back. All right. So here's regarding these so-called neo-Nazis. My understanding, and I'm not an expert in these groups, but my understanding is that these are groups, some of them are funded by the same Igor Kolomoisky, this Jewish oligarch, the same guy who is more or less created Zelensky. Zelensky was an actor on a TV show on Kolomoisky's network. And these... like the Azov Brigade, they're like, well, okay, yeah, we're, you know, this Jew is, they are anti-Semitic, but this Jew is giving them a lot of money to operate, and so they feel that like they're going to take control of Ukraine, you know, they're going to get strong, take care of the Russians first, and then take care of the Jews or something like that, but. Maybe that's what they think. I mean, it seems pretty naive to me, because it seems to me they were just created as some sort of shock troops that, you know, they do regularly attack these Donbass regions, and of course, you know, that's a violation of the ceasefire aspects of the Minsk Accords. The Minsk Accords go way beyond just the ceasefire, though. The Ukrainian parliament needed to set up some sort of autonomy. Well, it needed to repeal its anti-Russian language laws and other anti-Russian laws and allow for some autonomy, which it never did. fill in the blanks or correct the mistakes about my understanding of this Azov Brigade, why they exist, like why they are, at least for the time being, cooperating with a Jewish president and Jewish oligarch.
Well, I'm not 100% sure myself, but I surmise that the Azov Battalion and Right Sector and groups in that region are anti-Russian, and they're anti-Russian because of issues like the Holodomor and the fact that Russia
and
has...
Isn't that a misunderstanding of the Holodomor?
I think it's a massive misunderstanding of the Holodomor. But what you can... You have to look at a group and ultimately what that group is helping to bring about. And I'm looking in at Azov, and I'm seeing their actions bringing about conflict with Russia and ultimately bringing about a closeness between the Ukraine, NATO, and the EU. Now, if I was asked what I would want from my nation, I wouldn't want my nation to be part of NATO. I wouldn't want my nation to be part of the EU. I wouldn't want Britain to have close links with, you know, the globalized, homogenized world. You know, I'd want my nation away from that. You know, I see the globalized, homogenized world as the purveyor of degeneracy, of anti-whitism, of basically everything that we stand against. And I find it very interesting that at the moment, these sort of right-wing or, you know, national socialist groups in the Ukraine seem to want to welcome NATO in. And they seem to have a real misunderstanding of what's gone on in the past, in the sense of, you know, NATO bombing Serbia over the issue with Kosovo. You know, ultimately Russia stepped in there and stopped, you know, greater bloodshed of white Serbs at the hands of NATO. And I can tell you this now, if the Ukraine was an independent nation, and if Azov or Right Sector took control of the Ukraine and was passing policies and was enacting social policy there, NATO would be bombing them. It's as simple as that. NATO would be absolutely desperate to bomb the Ukraine back to the Stone Age. And they would certainly not take the sides of these people. These people are just the only credible operatives on the ground. So NATO are using what they can to keep this conflict going. I think it's very, very unfortunate. And I would urge these people that if they genuinely wanted to save the people of the Ukraine, if they genuinely want to ensure that their people remain and, you know, an ethnic group that are, you know, not harassed or not attacked by others, what they need to do, or what they should be doing, is trying to start their own breakaway republic. At this time, in all this turmoil, they should be attempting to start their own breakaway republic for white Ukrainians who are traditionalists and nationalists. You know, at the end of the day, submitting to NATO is not going to get them what they want. Absolutely not.
Okay. And in fact, the way things have progressed, they are encircled, and I guess they probably are desperados, feeling that they're going to fight to the death if there's not very good prospects for them once Russians occupy Ukraine. But we're up at the second break, so we'll be back in after this important message.
Perfumery, stationery and leather goods, wigs and haberdashery, kitchenware and food.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Xtendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Xtendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Xtendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Xtendivite may just be for you. Xtendivite is an all-natural supplement. Xtendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Xtendivite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Okay, we're back. Now, you had mentioned the Holodomor at one point, and most people know what we're talking about. It's a famine in the early 1930s that was a result of the Soviet policy of the forced collectivization of agriculture, which was a policy that came out of the Jewish Trotskyite wing of the Bolshevik Politburo. Enforced by Stalin, but on the ground, the way it worked, is they were trying to get as much grain from the countryside as possible, export it, use the proceeds to build up industry, to buy machinery so that they could have a military industrial complex, make the weaponry for the war that they thought was coming sooner rather than later. Other Russians, actual Russians, ethnic Russians like Bukharin, who was the only ethnic Russian in the Politburo at the time, wanted to build up agriculture. And then once agriculture was thoroughly built up, then you'd have a better basis for developing industry. It would take longer, though. Anyway, in enforcing the collectivization of agriculture, turning little peasant-owned and operated farms into huge farms that could be mechanized, where you could have like tractors and things like that, created all this dislocation. So agricultural production dropped, but then also you had all these Jewish commissars come in and insist on the peasants handing over all of their grain production, and there was a famine ensued. And people at the time knew what was going on. People at the time knew that these were Jewish commissars, that this was really a Jewish policy. And therefore, you know, people in 1941, when German troops were marching into Ukraine, they had the recent memory, maybe a 10-year-old memory of what had happened in the Holodomor, and tended to be rather favorable to the Germans, greeting them as liberators, because of what they knew at the time to be a Jewish tyranny that they had been under. Now the thing is, people today, Ukrainians today, this is the Holodomor is now 90 years in the past, and you know, people can at home can ask themselves, how much do they really know about their grandparents' attitudes towards politics or this or that in the early 1930s? How much do you really understand about, you know, the way your grandparents felt about things? And the thing is, in the intervening 80 years or so after World War II, you still had the Soviet Union still, it couldn't say, oh yeah, we were, the Soviet leaders, Khrushchev or Brezhnev, they couldn't say, well, we were founded by Jewish Bolsheviks who really actually hated the Russian people. Our entire state was founded by, people like that. That would, what would be the legitimacy for the Soviet Union? You know, the Soviet Union, I mean, it even discarded the name Russia, right? It was Soviet. It just means committee. So, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, so it would have no legitimacy. So they really had to they continued to repress the Jewish nature of the Holocaust in their textbooks, and post Soviet Russia, the first 10 years it was run by Jewish oligarchs. So I think maybe that I tend to think that explains the reason that the Ukrainians view the Holodomor and get an anti-Russian sentiment from it as opposed to an anti-Jewish sentiment. What do you think about that, Mark?
I agree completely. When you talk about the horrors of the Soviet Union, most people today would agree that the Soviet Union carried out, you know, some of the greatest atrocities that have ever been carried out through history. But when people say that, or when people view the world through that lens and say, you know, the Soviet Union was brutal, it was, you know, the things that were carried out were horrific, you know, you had the gulags, you had mass executions, you had people forced onto collective farms, all of these things were absolutely terrible. But to normal folk, they were basically crimes of Russia. People today view the Soviet Union as interchangeable with Russia. Russia is seen as the center of the Soviet Union. And people genuinely believe that it was Russians running everything, that, you know, Russia was the heart of the Soviet Union, and that it was ethnic Russians who were in charge of Russia. And because of that, people have a very distorted view of that particular period of history. And I think if you spoke to people who were ethnic Ukrainians, even at the time, they probably wouldn't understand that the Bolsheviks were, the people who were politically active would understand, you know, nationalists in the Ukraine would have understood at the time that this was the Bolsheviks, and the Bolsheviks were overwhelmingly, you know, of a certain, you know, ethnic origin. But even your average Ukrainians were probably not completely knowledgeable of this. You know, when it comes down to it, throughout history, people who are of Jewish descent have always had great success in white countries because they have managed to hide in plain sight. They aren't people. They look sufficiently similar to Europeans.
Hey, they're fellow whites.
They look sufficiently similar. And that's a very important thing. You can't underestimate or you can't downplay how important that is. Ultimately, that's a very important factor in their success. And when it comes down to it, you've got to think that even, you know, people back then probably didn't know. People now obviously aren't going to know. And fundamentally, this is a very, very taboo part of history. This is sort of hidden history. This is something we talk about and we take for granted that people in our circles understand. But fundamentally, normies, people in the real world, don't understand this. You know, but normies in the real world don't understand much of anything, let alone sort of very highly politicized or nuanced political takes. You know, sadly, you're dealing with people all over the world whose knowledge of anything is filtered through, you know, the likes of CNN, the likes of, our, you know, really through the eyes of our enemies. It's very foolish to expect that normies, whether they be in the Ukraine or here in the West, actually understand everything that's going on or have a proper historical perspective of the world.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, you look at I look at what's going on, the response of people, normies in America and elsewhere, just changing their Facebook avatar to the Ukrainian flag, and you know, I guess they're and of course there are these memes, right? I mean, there are these memes of the normie guy and his head's opened up, and they're taking out the I guess the COVID firmware, and now they're putting in the Ukraine firmware. Or there's others where, you know, you've got one box and the normie has Black Lives Matter tattooed on his head, and then the next one he's got a QR code on his head with a hypodermic needle sticking out of his ear, and then the next one now he's getting the Ukraine flag, and you know, there, and then even Elon Musk tweeted out a similar kind of meme that's, and it said, "I support the current thing." I mean, unfortunately, people are just so easily programmed and manipulated, and they don't have any understanding of what's going on. And I talk to normies, and you know, they're outraged with Russia, but they're excited that you've got grandmas going out and somehow with some weird trick disabling Russian tanks, and they're believing this, and it's sad. Anyway, I'm commenting on that. Anything else?
Yeah, well, people do believe all this nonsense. You know, there are people out there now who actually believe that Miss Ukraine is fighting on the front lines and she's, you know, disabling enemy armor as we speak. You know, Miss Ukraine, she's on the front lines. She's taking down enemy armor. She's an effective military combatant. You know, all the guys are following into battle. It's just a ridiculous fantasy. Mm. All of this is absolute nonsense. But the media is spewing it out, and sadly, normal people are believing it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you might think, well, of course, at some point, reality is just going to confront people. There will be the reality that Russia is in charge in Ukraine and can, if it cares to, it can dispose of Zelensky, it could bring in Yanukovych, it could, you know, it will be in control at some point, probably not too far down the road. And so will all of this, these weird stories about Miss Ukraine and the grandmas and the Russians forgetting to bring gas with them and things like that, is this going to come back and bite them? I had the feeling that actually people may well continue to believe all these stories about the heroic grandmas of Ukraine who held off the Russians so long. We didn't come to their aid. We, you know, there might be some kvetching that we didn't come to their aid, and they, you know, they were all so valiant, and it will play into the hands, because if the ultimate objective is to overthrow Vladimir Putin, it is still useful in keeping people outraged, keeping the outrage going, so you can keep the economic sanctions going. So it still may have some use. What do you think of that?
Look, there are still people out there. Sorry, there are still people out there who believe in COVID. There are still people out there walking around in face masks. So there are still going to be people who, even if the whole of the Ukraine fell and raised the Russian flag, would believe in all of this nonsense because they just believe everything they're fed.
Okay. So there's one other thing I want to jump over to, and it's something else that maybe people need to be able to wrap their heads around. So on the one hand, you know, we're talking about, I've been talking about the Jews who run the State Department. You got the top three people at the State Department, and so much of this policy seems to be coming out of the State Department. So you got Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, the number two person, Wendy Sherman, and then the person who really seems to be running the show in Ukraine is Victoria Nuland. And they're the number one, number two, number three people at the State Department. In the Obama years, they were number two, number three, effectively number four, with the Secretary of State at that time, the time of the Ukrainian business, the 2014, it had been John Kerry, who himself was half Jewish. At any rate, so you've got what you could call this Jew crew, and like I have said that I think the objective here is to overthrow Vladimir Putin, and that, you know, then you've got the Jewish media in the United States, and I suppose in Britain, you know, Sky News or whatever, BBC, that they're all in on it. So you seem to have this like Jewish foreign policy establishment and Jewish media establishment that's all on board in overthrowing Vladimir Putin, just using Ukrainians as pawns to be sacrificed. You know, they're willing to fight to the last Ukrainian to make Vladimir Putin the next Hitler. And yet now you've got this situation where you've got Naftali Bennett, the prime minister of Israel for the past 6 months or so, where he seems to be trying to position himself as a mediator. He seems to be telling the Jewish president of Ukraine to come to terms with the Russians, and coming to terms basically means surrendering. And
well, that's very interesting. I'll tell you this. I believe that Israel would always support the side they think are going to win. And one thing you've got to say for Israel is they usually have impeccable military intelligence, or intelligence on anything. You know, credit where it's due. These people know what is actually happening. So I would suggest if Israel are telling Zelensky to come to terms, they already know what the score is here. They already know that one side is about to emerge victorious.
You think Zelensky ever thought that he was going to be militarily victorious against the Russians?
I'm not sure what he's playing at. I know that he's going to cost a lot of people their lives, which is very bad. I think he's trying to hold out as long as he can. I think he's being told to do what he has to do. And my opinion on this is, if you're looking at Zelensky as a tactician, he knows he's not going to win. There are some battles you know you can't be victorious in. So what are your objectives? Well, if you look at everything that he's doing, his objective seems to be to get as many Ukrainians as possible killed. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And well, I think that's what he's up to.
And that would make him the perfect puppet of the U.S. State Department, because the more Ukrainians that are killed, the more atrocity porn there is, then the more they can have these sanctions and try to get the Russian people, the Russian peace movement, outraged.
That's exactly what I think he's doing.
Yeah. Okay. We'll be right back.
Some clash or tweak the head is beard. From now he always shall be single. To fall in love with boys is weird, especially boys without a tingle. Black Adder, Black Adder, his taste is rather odd. Black Adder, Black Adder, I'll rend the little sod. Lord Flashheart, Lord Flashheart, I wish you were the star. Lord Flashheart, Lord Flashheart, you're sexier by far.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
All right, we're back. We are talking about the seeming anomaly of Israel being a bit out of step with the Jews who run the State Department. And there's two brief points I want to make. One, that the Israelis, they want Jewish interests. They want what's good for the Jews, and the Jews in the State Department want what's good for the Jews. But they're in very different places, and they have different perceptions. And if you think back, 5, 6, 7, 7 about six years or so, to the negotiation of the Iran nuclear deal. The Israelis were dead set against the Iran nuclear deal. Who negotiated it? It was Wendy Sherman, who's now the number two person at the State Department. It was Tony Blinken. They negotiated it. The thing is, for Jews in America, what's good for the Jews is they're pro-Israel and everything, but American Jews have it great. The diaspora Jews have it great. They're in charge of the most powerful country on earth. Why would you want to upset the apple cart by supporting an even bigger, crazier Middle Eastern war? It didn't matter that that's what the Israelis wanted. On the other hand, the Israelis, a lot of Israelis are from Russia, speak Russian, and Israel has a lot of trade with Russia. That doesn't mean they dominate Russia. It doesn't mean Putin is a Chabad Lubavitch puppet, but there's a lot of trade that goes on. If you're Israel, little Israel, and there's a lot of trade going on with Russia, I think that they have a more pragmatic view of Russia and Vladimir Putin. What do you think?
I think Israel likes to be on the winning side. And I think they have a good idea of how things are unfurling over in the Ukraine. I think they have a very, very good idea of what's going on the ground. And they will now know the actual, they're not going to be they're not going to be getting their information from CNN. They're going to be getting their information from genuine military sources. They're going to understand exactly what is happening. And because they understand exactly what's happening, I think what they're going to be doing is saying to people, right, we don't want to be backing the loser. Now, if Russia was getting absolutely spanked, as the Western media likes to tell everybody, I think what you'd have here is, quite simply, you'd have the Israelis supporting the Ukraine. You'd have Israel saying to Russia, you need to back off now. Everyone in the Ukraine, everyone in Israeli parliament would be waving little Ukrainian flags. I think they know the score. I think they know what the outcome of all of this is going to be. And I think they are wanting to emerge on the side of the victors. And they do have trade with Russia. I'm not saying they are, they're completely in bed with the Russians or anything of the sort. I'm not saying that Russia is completely controlled by Israel, but they do have certain common interests. And because they have certain common interests, and they can see that people they have those common interests with are going to emerge from this ultimately victorious, that to me is a great reason why they would be saying this.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me, Mark.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's always the best way to start the week, even though it's not on a Monday.
And yeah, catch Mark's shows on Odyssey and BitChute. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National People Radio.
You won't admit you love me, and so how am I ever to know? You always tell me.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're a- listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.